Disciplined life for the Lord. We're going to be using a Bible drill and looking at that discipline part and actually looking at self-discipline and how that can have an impact in our lives. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help me in that. Lord, I am thankful for this opportunity. This is a precious place to be, standing behind a pulpit in a church that people are longing to hear your word. I pray that I can be a good steward of that this morning and I can be a blessing for the people here. And a challenge as well. In your son's name I ask, amen. Now I'm an engineer. I don't know if that's a handicap or that's just telling you what I am. As an engineer, I was college educated that way. I was made a civil engineer through education. For those that think that's a good deal, I started in aeronautical engineering and I failed out of that. And then I went to electrical engineering, I failed out of that. And I like to play in the dirt, so they put me in civil engineering, and I finally finished my degree. So I'm not a great scholar. I'm just knowing that that's what the Lord has blessed me to be, a civil engineer. And then the Marine Corps decided that wasn't good enough, and they sent me back to school, and I became a facilities manager. And they trained me well, and then they gave me back to the Marine Corps, and the Marine Corps didn't know what to do with me. So I've got engineering background, and I think the best thing it did was help confuse my wife, because every time I'd talk to her and things, she said, "Do you really think like that?" And I said, "Yeah, I really think like that." One of our favorite stories, when I was getting a degree, I was staring out the window like I often do, and my wife says, "What are you thinking about? You really want to know?" She said, "What were you thinking about?" And I said, "Well, there's a guy mowing the lawn over there, and he's got a big wheel in the back and a little wheel in the front. And I was trying to figure out how many times that little wheel went around until it matched the big wheel in the back." She said, "You really think like that?" "Yeah, I really think like that." So I like numbers. I like playing in engineering. That's just me. That's just what I am. But I'm weak in reading and writing. I never was good at it, and I have to work at it. I have to work very hard at it. And so what I've had to do, especially in the last 20 years as I've taught, actually 22 years now, I've taught young married couples, I've had to dive back into my dictionary, I've had to dive back into my concordance, and I've had to study hard in order to present material that can be understood. And it still gets that engineering squeak in it once in a while. So I hope I don't make too much engineering in you on you today. But what I did in my study today is I went back again to my Webster's Dictionary. And I'm going to give you a quiz without necessarily making you have the answer. I'm going to give you four definitions out of five possible definitions for a word. I'm going to see if you can figure out what the word is. Education, instruction, cultivation and improvement, comprehending instruction in arts, sciences, and correct sentiments. That was definition one in my dictionary. Number two, instruction in government, comprehending the communication of knowledge and the regulation of practice. Number two. Three, rule of government, method of regulating principles and practice. Subjection to laws. Number four, subjection to laws, rules, order, precepts, or regulations. I couldn't even figure it out when I did it. What's the word? It's disciple. It's disciple. Excuse me, it's discipline, not disciple. Discipline. Let me give you that one definition that we probably often think of when we think of discipline. The fifth definition, correction, chastisement, punishment. Now we're talking what I remember as a kid. That was discipline. Those are the words that matched up to what I grew up with. But those other four definitions expand so much more if we look and consider discipline in our lives. It's much more than chastisement. It's much more than correction. It's much more than punishment. It's establishing a base in our lives that I believe we should all consider. And for some, like myself, discipline did not have a positive memory for me. I'll word it that way. Our current world does not promote biblical discipline, I'll put it that way. The Bible is still correct in how we should discipline our families. But I grew up with good biblical discipline. I'll just word it that way. My youngest brother and I, we had the room next to Mom and Dad's, and we had two twin beds. And one time we were using them for trampolines when we were supposed to be sleeping. And through the wall, we heard, whop, 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 whop. What was that? It was the belt coming out of my dad's pants. So we were undercover, fast asleep by the time he came around the corner and came in the door. I don't know who was bouncing on the beds. That's the kind of discipline, though, that I grew up with. But as I noted in Sunday school, I recognize not everyone here is already raising a family. I understand that. But again, I got my kit bag over the wall here. But consider things that I'll offer to you today. For if you don't have a family, put these things in your kit bag. But disciplining in our own life, I think can apply to everybody. You don't have to have a family for us to consider what discipline will do for us. Or in my case, specifically, I want to key in the word self-discipline. We may say we want to read God's Word, but do we discipline ourselves enough to be in it? Are we going to say that I can discipline myself to be in it daily? Is it going to be more than just once a week? But self-discipline affects a whole bunch of aspects of our lives. I'll run through a couple of them by name here. We won't hit those necessarily specific, but they do have an impact. It can affect our punctuality. Being in an area at work, church, activities, projects, discipline will get you to anticipate to get to church on time or to get to work on time. There is a habit of going to work on time that if you don't show up, they fire you. Or you get written up and you get to go visit the commanding officer if you're not there on time on a frequent basis. That's a negative discipline to get us to do something. We discipline ourselves to get somewhere on time. It can affect our character. An undisciplined person will not have a high degree of character because they'll be bouncing all over in their lives. Education, that can be especially true in education. We discipline ourselves to study. I was not a very disciplined student. I loved to play outside. I loved to play in the dirt. As a child, that's where my attention was. And I lost a lot of opportunities as a young man. And I think that's why I still struggle with my English, because I didn't pick up skills when I was young. It can also affect our organization. And this may be the way we keep things in order in our lives, organizing and structuring ourselves. It can be in our neatness and our attire. The Marine Corps, if I wasn't disciplined in that, they certainly taught me. If I use the term Irish pennant, does that apply to the Navy as well? If I talk to my civilian counterparts, I say, what is that? And I said, well, I can help you find them, and I will see all these little threads that are sticking out in their clothes, and I'll get my scissors out and snip them off. We have that kind of discipline in our military. We don't have Irish pennants. We trim those off. And then it can also affect change in our lives. If we need change in our lives, it will be a discipline that allows us to force ourselves into making changes in our lives. And one of the reasons I like to emphasize self-discipline, especially with parents, is the reality that many things are caught by our children. We can try to teach them, but if they see us doing it, they are going to catch it as well. And discipline will allow us to do that, to establish things in our lives that our children can catch. And then for those that are saved, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were given a new nature that we can take and mature and grow in the Lord. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, get there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we currently don't see ourselves as a self-disciplined person, that doesn't mean that we have to stay in that state as being undisciplined. We are a new creature in Christ. Being able to set aside our past and go in a new direction as a disciplined person. I grew up in a small town in southeastern Minnesota, and I was given a nickname that was a cruel nickname given part of because of my family. And when I moved in ninth grade, I went to Buffalo, Minnesota. I met my wife there as a high school sweetheart. I was able to start anew. And I never thought of a worldly example of what it was like to live a new life. Barb knew nothing about that past. All she met was this new kid who's coming in, recently saved, and starting a new life in a new town. That's what being new in Christ will do. We can forget that past. God has forgiven our past. God does not have a gunny sack for those that have been here over the weekend. He doesn't have a gunny sack and keep piling things in and then dump it back on you in your future. We ask the Lord to forgive, and it's gone. I sing a song, Down in the Depths of the Sea. When our sins are all past, they're all gone at last. Down in the depths of the sea. God will never bring those back up. And that's what the blessing is of starting a new life in Christ. Maybe you're not disciplined now. Let's go ahead and start. Let's consider what being self-disciplined will do for us. We are that new creature. How about Romans 5:12? Let's go back to that for a second here. Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I put it in here as every child born on this earth, except for Jesus Christ, has been born with a sin nature. And what does that sin nature give us? It gives us something, as we will find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And remember, I said this is going to be a Bible drill morning. So one of the highlights when Pastor was talking about the Bible and having a paper Bible, when you're in a big church like Barbara and I have in, at Woodbridge, Virginia, it almost sounds like rain falling when all the pages turn. And I get goosebumps when I think of that, that we are in God's Word, and it's like the Lord is just showering us down from His Word. That was free. 1 John 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. This lust, I looked in my concordance to find out what a good definition might be. It's a longing, especially for something that's forbidden. We lust for something we shouldn't have. That's the sin nature that we have. And it takes root for that sin in our life that we want it. Our interests turn to that in our sin nature. But what we want in our desires is to overcome those and then with discipline put aside those lusts and press forward for what the Lord would have for us to have as well. And when we were up in Ireland, my tongue is tied this morning. We have a young couple that's expecting a child here in the next couple of months. And I said, when that child is born, it's coming with a sin nature. I know every parent who holds their little one, they have little angels, but they were all born with a sin nature. And they're all going to let you know that they have a sin nature. They're going to be selfish, put them with a bunch of toys, and they're going to want their own will. They have no problem getting all the toys out of the toy box and playing with them. Now it's time to put them back in. Oh no, there's no reason for them to have to do that. They just didn't have more toys to play with. Or put them in the nursery. Put one toy between three children. And you're going to find out someone is going to win the battle to get those toys. Our sin nature is going to be drawn out. Our children are going to show us that they have that sin nature all in them as well. Our sin nature is like one of the characters from Patch the Pirate. Our children grew up on Ron Hamilton's Patch the Pirate. And there was a storyline from Kidnap to Island, and there was a king who jumped on the deck of the ship, and the Patch kids asked him, well, what's your name? And he said, my name is Me First, Me First. And they said, well, how do you spell that? And he says, with a great big I. It's the selfishness in us. It's part of our sin nature. But in our stepping away from that, our new creature in Christ changes us from saying me first, to making it Him first, Him first. Our discipline will allow us to change our direction now. Christ gave the response to the devil when he had been tempted for 40 days, and what was the priority in his life? He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Not what the world wants. The world wants to go what they want. The world wants to serve who they want and their selfish desires. But the Lord says we are to serve Him and serve Him only. Make Him, Him first. But to do that goes against our old nature. And it takes a disciplined approach to life to be that type of servant. And it takes a disciplined approach by parents to instill that discipline in their children. And it takes work. It takes work to do that. But what is that inner drive that gets us to do something? If we depended on our flesh to make our decisions, we would always pursue things that make us feel good. And in our world, the more our economy has towards entertainment, the more it's a temptation for us to go there. My wife and I grew up in Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. And what we've watched over the years from when we left to now, many churches no longer have Sunday night services. We got to go to the lake. We got to be at the lake. It's taking care of me first, instead of being back and studying in God's Word. A sadness of where our country is going, our nation is going as well. We have missionaries in Australia, and it's the biggest problem on Sundays trying to get them to church because the weekend is theirs. They get to be doing holiday. They get to do what they want to do. And it, in order for us to break away, it takes that self-discipline to break away from doing it what we want and doing it to what we should. So doing what we ought and not what we, to do what we ought and not what we want, I believe it will have a multiple aspects that will see that. So in my spiritual life, I'll discipline myself to with God's help, be in the Word of God. And it's not whether it's fun or not. If we've been doing the Bible here, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, try Numbers and Deuteronomy. You're going to be reading some things that not necessarily fun, but there's some gems that you can still pull out of those when you read through them. So Barb and I have been plowing through there, and there's sometimes we'll get together in the evening and share what we had in our reading, and we will go to Proverbs and Matthew or Mark and Luke instead of finding something in Deuteronomy or Numbers. But there's still some gems in there. I was sharing with Pastor Hamilton the other day that all these details of what they had to do to make the temple. And it kept saying over and over again, and Moses did what was commanded, and Moses did what was commanded, and Moses did what was commanded. Yeah, there was a lot of detail that I didn't necessarily understand, but he did what he was commanded. He did what he was commanded. A man who was disciplined, Moses. The way I walk morally, the discipline in my life will guide me towards making right moral decisions. It's not whether I get caught or not, it's I will make the right decision. Instead of wondering, well, is my wife watching or are my kids watching? It's the Lord is watching. I will do what's right. I will do the moral things right. Making right ethical decisions can be disciplined in our life. It can keep us from following the winds of the world with ethics. It's, well, can I get by with this? Can I stretch the rules? Is that the right thing to do? Discipline will help us in that. And discipline will help guide us to do what we ought to do, not what we want to be. Some practical examples. Let us turn to Joshua chapter 1, and then we'll also be back in 2 Timothy if you want to have one in both places. We're going to look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. A familiar passage again. I think we've already been in that as well. I'll get a little head start on 2 Timothy. All right, are we there? First Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I put that together with my 2 Timothy passage. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If I want to apply these two verses together in my life, I know that I ought to be studying God's Word in the day and in the night. If I know that my normal day schedule keeps me from getting to reading and studying God's Word during daylight hours, I'm going to have to go to bed earlier to get enough rest to get up earlier to be in God's Word. That's where the discipline part kicks in. I've got to set my alarm. And setting my alarm then gets me up earlier just because I need to. It's a self-discipline. There are times when you're going to have to ask the Lord for help in this because our body just does not want to do certain things. But we need to ask the Lord to help in our self-discipline to step forward in this. When I rise early, I also need to be careful about being distracted. One of the things that I've shared already is the number one distraction. I had to wear it just so I could bring it out. This can be a significant distraction in even having your Bible time. As I shared before, my boys, they like to share funny things with Dad. And so I might be trying to have my Bible time, and then the Lord is talking to me, and I bzz, 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 and it's so tempting just a quick look, and I'll be all right, you know. And then I've lost the train of thought the Lord has been working with me. So this is one of the other distractions you can have. Back in the day when people got paper newspapers, the newspaper was always dropped at our front step. And I delivered papers when I was young, and I always read the headlines before I delivered the papers. And I was so tempted, I'll just look at the headlines. And the next thing you know, it says page 2. And now I've lost 10 minutes of my time before I can even have my Bible time. But discipline learns how to set that aside. Emails that pop up, alerts that you might have in your computer. Be ready to get these attention thing or distraction things and put them aside so that you can spend time doing your study of God's Word. And my body may try telling me to sleep in and get extra rest, but the discipline factor kicks in and says, I'm going to do what I ought to do, not what I want to do. I'll do what's right and not what I want. And I remembered a song that had been taught to us again through Patch the Pirate, but it's Do Right Till the Stars Fall. I don't know how many remember that song. I am close to being at the gravelly voice of J. Vernon McGee, so I will try to sing this. If it fails, I'll just read the words. But it goes like this. Do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. Do right when there's no one else to stand by you. Do right when you're all alone. Do right though it's never known. Do right since you love the Lord. Do right, do right. What a theme to have with you. I'm going to just do right. I'm just going to do right. I'm just going to do right. Set it as a theme for you. An extension of the example that I've had here is that I'm going to get the adequate rest, though, that I need. If I'm going to get into my Bible time, one of the struggles I have is when I slow down, I sleep. So if I am going for my Bible time, I might have an extended period of time of Bible time. I then have some prayer time for my family, for my friends at work, at church. I pray for their salvation. I pray for the needs that we have at our church. I have to watch myself that if I don't get my sleep, the next thing you know, instead of praying with the Lord, I'm sleeping with the Lord. So I've had to learn how to discipline myself. I've got to get more rest. At my age now, I'm allowed to take naps, and so I'll get a nap, so I'm rested to be strong through the day. But I do what I need to do and discipline my life to do things for the Lord. And then there's a general warning to myself as well, to each of us, having a TV or computer or video or DVD, when is it that it calls us the most to come and watch? It's in the evening. It's in the evening when we would go to bed early enough to get some rest. Maybe it's because by then we put our children down if you have children. Maybe it's because it's just the time of slowing down. But be careful. In self-discipline, you may have to learn how to say, no, I'm not going to watch. I may have to put it on a record and look at something earlier. But be very careful that you don't let them dictate in your life the discipline that you need to be having to be into God's Word. But it's that discipline in our lives that's going to help us overcome temptation to do what's right and not what the flesh wants. If we were to do a word search of the word discipline, and this is the second thing in this series that I've had, is there's only one use of the word discipline in the Bible. Well, let's use it. It's in Job, and it just didn't fit. But the definition of the word discipline had within it some other words. It has the word temperate. And that it also has the word diligent, two words that are also defining discipline. So those we can find in our Bible. For example, let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to read one as a preface for it, but we'll be into 1 Corinthians 9 and then read 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. That's that key word that's similar to discipline. Is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We could also consider Titus 1:8 or Galatians 5:23, where that word temperance comes in again. But then I also looked at the word diligent as well. Diligent is a word that could be closely associated with the concepts of discipline. And the dictionary definition here is steady in application. That when I am diligent, I'm going to keep doing it, I'm going to keep doing it, I'm going to keep doing it. 2 Peter 3:14 provides a verse that applies for this as well. Remember, I said Bible drill, so we're getting it. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The diligence here we can use, it can be derived for us as a result of disciplined life, and that we can instill this virtue in ourselves first, and then in our children. And whether we consider the words diligent, temperance, discipline in its root definition, we won't find that they imply necessarily spirituality. But exercising ourselves with discipline will give us an opportunity to grow spiritually as well. If we discipline ourselves to be in God's Word, we have an opportunity for the Lord's Word to come and grow in us. And it does then affect us spiritually as well. If you want to develop a spiritual character like God's, if we want to help our children grow to be in godly character, goes back to our goal number two on the chart that or the handout I had here, discipline will provide us that avenue to achieve that goal. The practicality of exercising discipline in our lives prompts me to return again to the verses that deal with our old and new nature. Galatians 2:20. Again, one of the songs I learned early in my Christian life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our old nature has been crucified with Christ. We do not need to be held captive by our old nature. I had a man help me when I was a teenager in growing in the Lord. And he described it similar to picture yourself in a jail cell and you have your old nature in there, but he's shackled. And you're in that same cell. You're stuck in that room with him. That old nature's still with you, but he can be held back because he's been chained. He's been crucified. He is dead to the impact in my life. But what do we do when we fall back into the old nature? Well, that is my old nature, and we put our arm around our good buddy, and we fall back into the sin that we made, and then we have to, no, I am a new creature. That is my past. I can live my new life separate from that. And that's the goal that we would have. Discipline helps us in that as well. Yet what do? We let that old flesh reign. We give into the flesh. We allow ourselves to fail. If it feels good, we do it. It's a mentality that should not be for us as Christians. We should be having one based on God's Word. More emphasis is found in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in its lusts, in the lusts thereof. If we're looking for strength to step away from that old sin nature, it will come from disciplining ourselves to walk like a new man, where our thoughts, our ideas, and living is affected by being in and reading God's Word. Have you caught that emphasis that I've been hitting this week? Is being in God's Word, it affects our marriage, it affects our ability to communicate, it affects our being able to discipline our lives. It could be that maybe this is the foundation in our lives. It sure is if we bury ourselves into God's Word and establish it as our foundation. Every day we need to set our mind to be dead to the flesh and desiring to be alive to the new nature that God has given us. And maybe sometimes it's going to take a tape message. My wife occasionally will put a note up for me, and it could have been on the mirror. She did that once with lipstick. She wrote on the mirror a special love note for me. Maybe you need to put a love note for yourself up there. I will study God's Word today, or I will set myself as being separated from Christ today, for Christ today. And put that as a reminder. I see myself in the mirror to shave every morning, so that's a common place for us to have a reminder. I have a reminder above my desk. Most of the time I can work at home now as a part-time employee. And I have above my desk a proverb that applies for me. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So, I'm doing a worldly job, but I can do it in Christ and do it the right way. So, every morning, Proverbs sitting right in front of me. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Why do I know and have that memorized? Because there's a song that goes with it. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Songs help me. But that would be an encouragement for you as well. So let me quickly look at some additional points regarding the discipline and the impact that it can have in our lives, as well as the impact of our children, if the Lord so blesses us with that. First of all, it can affect our Christian character. If there is a key to developing Christian character, it's going to be through discipline. The character of a Christian should reflect that they would always do right. We've already sang that song, do right, do right. We press forward doing things in our lives by disciplining our mind that we will choose to do right. And it's not about convenience. It's not about cost. I will choose to do right. If something is right to do, that should settle it. Do right. And what a great character trait that would be to instill in our children. We do what is right. One of the examples I can think of from our life, the Japanese are very, very attentive to give you exact change when you buy something from them. If they made a mistake and gave you too much, they take great embarrassment if you were to bring that change back to them. So recognizing that if we truly did have too much change given to us, what's the right thing to do? Give it back. Well, it's only a few pennies. It may be a few yen. But what's right? What an example we can give for our children. Oh, I got too much change. Oh, let's go back in and we're going to give this back. You made a mistake. I'm sorry, but this is not my money. This is yours. It's not much, but it establishes something for the children to see. No matter how little, it's still right to do right. Do right. It established some key Christian character traits. But then it also, like I'd said earlier, it has effects on schooling and education. A person who practices discipline in their life, first they learn to discipline their mind. A disciplined mind chooses to put aside distractions. They choose not to goof off when the teacher is speaking. They focus on the right thing to think upon, not what they want to. And discipline and education go hand in hand with us. And then our children, and then we as parents, we need to take that first step to guiding our own minds as well. We guide our minds through a disciplined life to do what is right there. And it can affect our emotions as well. In the Patch of Pirate, in the Kidnap to Island story, there's a character named Silas who has to learn how to control his temper. And I just thought about expanding that Patch story, and just like I shared, I think it was yesterday, I think I need to just pick on myself as an example here. I can say that especially as a child, I developed that reputation of being the hothead in the family. It didn't take much to get Ron to blow his temper. When I looked at the word temper, the root word was from temperance. And I thought, oh, we already looked at that, and I didn't have it. I did not have temperance. But it's defined to mean patience and calmness, and I did not have that. The Lord had a lot of work on me. As soon as I thought I had it fixed, then I would, I tell my Sunday school class, you give me a couple of things, and I know I'm on the precipice of letting that old nature come through. Take my sleep away. Give me sugar, and then give me something that's out of my routine, and put those three factors in, and I know, Lord, we're working on this, and we know the Lord has provided us temptations, but he always gives us an escape, and the hard part is not wanting to take the escape, wanting to use my mouth, my voice, my reaction, and the Lord had to work on me in controlling my emotions, and it has taken self-discipline to do that. And it's only by God's grace and his working with me over many years of self-discipline that I've learned how to control my emotions. Matthew 12:34. We look at the second half of that verse. Matthew 12:34b is where I'm picking into. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When I lose my temper, when we lose our temper, we allow our old self that speaking part that should not be. And it's through discipline that we also apply Proverbs 15:1. Remember, I already shared about this one. This is the one that Ron had to learn in relationship to his wife. Proverbs chapter 15:1. I'm not sure why I need to turn to it because I had to learn it and memorize it. 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. When we fight, we have this urge to express our temper, but disciplining our anger puts this under control. So, yes, I had to be very careful. The soft part I've already talked about, but I had to be careful in my answer. Anger could pop up, and it does not do anything to help a relationship with your spouse. And my words to my Sunday school class is, think low and think slow. Because what typically happens when we have a disagreement with our spouse, if we are not disciplined, it's the first... Do I have any babies in here? I got to make sure I'm not waking any up. I woke them up yesterday when I got a little loud. So the first thing is you're starting a conversation, but then you start disagreeing. Well, if you disagree, you also have to get a little bit louder to make sure you're heard. And then the pitch gets a little bit higher so I can get my point across. And the next thing you know, we're yelling at each other. We should not be doing that. Barb shook her head. No, we don't do that in our home. So... I was using an example of some other person at the time. But we really have not. We had to learn that lesson right away, that the woman that I love is not the one that I'd ever raise my voice with, nor would I raise my hand to my wife. Two things, because I am honoring my spouse. I'm tying all these pieces together that we've had over the weekend. Remember, we're going to honor our spouse. So my voice has to be controlled. My pitch has to be controlled. And my hands have to be controlled in my relationship with my wife as well. And then another one that has an impact is our dependability. Look what 1 Samuel 17. I learned this one, I guess it was as a Sunday school teacher, I learned this principle of how being disciplined has an effect on our dependability. 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to read verses 17 through 22. It's a story, but then I'm going to go back and explain why I'm using this. 1 Samuel 17, verses 17 through 22. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. So why did I use this for a title of dependability? Notice what David did in verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. Notice what he said in verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper. As a Sunday school teacher, I traveled frequently with the government job that I had, as well as a contractor. I'd have a Sunday school class. And I would just let the person in charge of Sunday school, I said, I'm going to be gone next Sunday. And I would leave. And I hit this passage, and I said, David didn't do that. David didn't just walk away. David got his replacement. A person who's self-disciplined recognized, I have a responsibility for a job. And in this job that I have, I'm not just going to walk away from it. I don't want to leave this burden to my pastor. I don't want to leave this burden to the choir director. I don't want to leave this person. I run the soundboard as well. I'm not going to leave this to somebody else. I'm not just going to say, well, I'm out next week, and leave the soundboard empty, and everybody comes for church to get started, and, oh, Ron's not here. Does anybody know how to run the soundboard? And watch people panic at the last minute. Dependability, being self-disciplined, is Eric, my boss on the soundboard, Eric, I'm going to be gone next week. For choir practice, I've already contacted Drew. Drew will cover the board. If he can't, he's going to call you. So we have someone who is self-disciplined enough to recognize, I have a responsibility, I'm going to do that. And David did it twice in our example here. He went to go forward to see what was going on, and he left, let's see, verse 22, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper. Again, he wanted to make sure things were covered. Our being disciplined in our lives will affect our being dependable as well. If God has given you a job, whether it's at work or whether it's here, be dependable in it. Instead of just vacating it, take the time, take the effort, use David as an example, and get coverage for that. When you have the duty, I know we've got a lot of people here in the Navy, when you have the duty, if you can't get the duty or you want to be in church or something, I don't know, the Marines used to be able to do this, they would get somebody else to cover for them. They wouldn't just walk away. Do that once and you'd find yourself standing in front of the commanding officer. Where were you? Well, I wanted to go to church. Well, I appreciate that, but who was covering your duty? We take the time to do it at work. Let's do it as well here in our church. So discipline, self-discipline in life will enable us to do what God wants us to do, and it's not necessarily a spiritual issue, but self-discipline in our lives will give us opportunities to grow spiritually. It provides an avenue to develop spiritual issues in our lives from which we can draw upon to guide our children, and it affects our character, our mind, our control of our emotions, and our planning ahead skills, and our productivity and our finances, even in those. And we don't just catch discipline. We have to, with a reputation of discipline, we need to put those words together, that I will have my reputation and discipline working together. And it's not too late to turn to God and say, God, I'm not a disciplined person. I was not a disciplined person. The Marine Corps helped refine some of those things, but it was being able to say, the old creature is dead, and I have a new life in Christ, that I could say, that was my past. Lord, I want to be something different. I want to be disciplined. So it's time to turn that time to pray. God, please help me be a disciplined person. It'll affect not only here seeing our children become disciplined, but it'll help for identifying the things that the Lord would have for us to become in our lives. Becoming disciplined will also guide us to taking the tools that I provided over this weekend. I provided a lot of neat things, some notes that you may have taken, but those are just notes unless you take a little self-discipline, initiative to do some actions, to take some actions on those things as well. So the emphasis, of course, has first been on the parents to develop a self-disciplined life as an example for our children, but then we need to teach it to our children. And for the singles, establishing self-discipline in your lives as well will have an impact, not only on your life, but it could be then an attraction to a spouse as well, that this man or this woman is disciplined. They will take care of me because they are disciplined in their lives. It's a challenge today in our disciplining ourselves. And again, I'll have to emphasize that it's in Christ that we can do this. If you don't know Christ, then I've given you a whole bunch of neat things and you can try your best. But in Christ, we have an opportunity to be disciplined and change our direction in our life. With that, Pastor, I'll let you take the conclusion here.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, just in an attitude of prayer, we want to close. stacked them against the wall, stacked them around.